Hello and welcome, Merhaba ve hoş geldiniz, to our podcast, Talking Round North Cyprus. Great to have your company once again. Unusually, in fact, this is the very first time that my co-host and longtime friend Roger Barra isn't sunning himself over in the TRNC for this podcast, but he's actually here in the UK for a few weeks, enjoying this, well, I was going to say sunshine, but it's very misty now and it's gone a bit wet and horrible, but he's convalescing as well. You've had a procedure, haven't you, Rog? How are you doing?
Hi, Sarah. Hi, everyone. Yes, I've had a procedure. Ooh, vicar. A short stay in the Near East Hospital in Lefkosia, but a recovery. I know I'm a bloke and we're always like this, but it's so painfully slow compared to what I was expecting. So we've got a family wedding this weekend in deepest Dorset, a family garden party up in London town next weekend, and then a twice postponed week in Malta, postponed because of COVID travel restrictions over the last couple of years. So we're hoping to make that third time lucky. So we've decided to have the bulk of trying to heal right here in the UK for a change. And when we got here, Sarah, it was incredible. I think it was 36 degrees Celsius last week out here in Dorset. And walking outside was just like being at home, but it's reverted back to the norm now, dull and damp.
Typical
UK summer.
I was going to say, welcome to England. I know you're going to enjoy your time in England, but I'm sure there will be times like this when you're looking at the drizzle that you think, oh, you know what, I'd rather be back in the TRNC. And I did mention to you when we joined that you've got clothes on this time. So usually it's so hot that you've been out running. But you are looking after yourself, are you? I mean, you've been out. I know you're convalescing, but you have been out walking, haven't you? So as they do say in Cyprus, yavash, yavash. We want you to look after yourself. So dear listener, we've decided for the next couple of weeks not to record any new interviews just because it, logistics, it's not that easy. But to let you hear some favourites from the past, can you believe this? 43 episodes. This is number 44. In a few minutes, we're going to rehear the story of Conrad from South Africa via Namibia. But before that, Rog, let's have a look and see what's been going on. There's a right hoo-ha, isn't there, with Turkish Cypriots up in arms, both, well, at the BBC and PM hopeful Rishi Sunak.
Yes, Sarah, quite a palaver. And it's all about bias against Turkish Cypriots and, conversely, bias towards the narrative that's so often flaunted by the Greek side. Now, BBC London recently ran a report about a young Greek Cypriot who arrived in the UK in 1974 after Turkey invaded the island of Cyprus. So you know where this is going straight away. A totally one-dimensional approach to this report. No context. There was no mention of attempted genocide of Turkish Cypriots. And the fact that this war had been going on for over a decade, you know, it didn't just start one day in 1974. Anyway, over 500 complaints have been sent to the BBC, and that's been coordinated by a couple of groups who you can search for. They joined forces, one group called North Cyprus Exists and the other group called Young Turkish Cypriots. So you can follow them on Twitter, look at their websites, and you can find out more about it.
Yes, and of course our friend Ipek at tvine.com, if you go there, you'll always get the full details of the story, or if you follow her on Twitter or anything. It's important. It's important that you get these things right. It really is. And also, I mean, what's this about Rishi Sunak? I mean, possible future prime minister. I mean, he's still on the still out and about there. So what's he been up to? He's upset everybody, hasn't he, as well?
Well, he has. Could Rishi Sunak be a Turcophobe? That's the question being asked. This is after the Conservative Friends of Cyprus. Now, they're a pro-Greek Cypriot Tory lobby group. They published letters from both Sunak and Truss on its website. Now, Truss, to be fair, adopted a neutral position on the Cyprus problem. Sunak gave references, Sarah, straight from the BBC London anti-Turkish textbook, you know, distorting the historical events, undermining Turkish Cypriot political equality, and basically managing to cause huge offence to Turkish Cypriots. So not his finest day. And think about this. There are 300,000 Turkish Cypriots living in the UK, and their next leader courting anti-Turkish bias. you couldn't write this.
Yeah. And they all have a vote. That's the thing. You know, they'll all, most of them will be eligible to vote because they've, you know, been born in the UK and grown up in the UK. So, yeah. And they're very vociferous as well. I mean, you can't ignore the Turkish Cypriots. That's the thing. You know, how can you sort of know that they exist, but then completely ignore how they exist and why they exist and what their story is? So, as I say, yeah, if you want more details, t-vine.com is a really good place to go because you get the sort of a different perspective on it from there. Okay, then let's go on to our revisited guest today, a chap you met power walking, wasn't it, Rog? But what struck me straight away was what you and me consider normal. Well, the normal has been so much different for people like Konrad Prolarius. So you asked him what his story was for ending up in paradise.
I'm from South Africa. And what driven me to the decision to leave Africa was the safety, your personal safety, safety of what you own, safety of the people that you care for. And in 2020, I traveled to Portugal, Italy, and Spain to go and have a look if I could settle there because I wanted to do the Mediterranean because I like sunny weather most of the year and minimal winters. And I did my travels and then I realized that to go and live in Europe is just extremely expensive. To live in Europe, you need a big financial backup. Even at my age where I can still work, you know, it wouldn't be enough. I'll have to work myself to the bone to be able to live there. And then I met somebody that has been to North Cyprus. And I spoke to her and she created this beautiful picture. And then I thought, well, that could be. And then I started doing research. And what I found was most of the time when I did research, I always Googled safest place in the world, lowest crime rate and whatever. And Northern Cyprus always came up. Then everybody told me that it's not a recognized country. If you go there, you're going to lose your money. And no, you know, you've got no connection to the rest of the world. And they're in war. Even though I've heard all of that, I still, at the end of the day, took the chance and was planning to come in March 2020. Unfortunately, COVID happened and I couldn't come and check it out. And then the severity of the situation still in Africa and South Africa, and it's growing. I just needed this urge to leave. And I eventually packed up my whole house and my life and put it in a container and shipped it here without ever being here. And
but you didn't come for the inspection trip or anything. You just moved.
I just, thumb sucked, and I just thought it can't be worse than Africa.
Can you, at this stage, Konrad, give us some idea? Because I know you spent the last, 15 years in Namibia,
yeah,
which is next door to South Africa. Can you give us some idea of the distasteful things that made you move the way you did? Give us some examples.
The thing of Africa was I moved to Namibia 15 years ago because South Africa's crime rate has risen to such an extent that the average day, 58 people gets brutally murdered for nothing. Maybe for a wallet or a cell phone or anything. There's just no value to your life. And at that stage, Namibia was a safer bet, and that's why I moved over there. But then the crime just moved across. And you live in your own home with electric fencing. You've got beams in your garden to pick up if anybody gets over the fence. You've got beams in your ceiling, you know, for somebody getting in through the roof, and you literally get attacked and held up in your own home.
Has that happened to you?
It's happened to me. It's happened to me three times. With the top security, you know, we have to pay security companies to keep an eye on your house. Or if you go out at night and you come back home late, you phone the security company to meet you at your gate to safeguard your house. And people don't realize it. People don't realize it when they come to a country in Africa as a tourist, because you don't deal always with that unsafety for you that's a resident in the country. because you're short times at short places and you just see the beautiful parts of the country, but you don't see the lifestyle and the danger. And that's why I feel that a lot of times people have this preconceived idea of Africa, and even though they hear the stories, they don't experience it, they don't believe it. But the reality is different. And the other thing is, like, driving in your car and you stop at a traffic light and somebody pulls open your door, gets into your car, hold you by gunpoint, drive you into a field, chuck you out and steal your car and leave you there to die. It's things that steals your own protection, your feeling of you can protect yourself because you can't. And to live like that every day is a nightmare. And when I moved here, I also realized that the medication that was provided for me and the illnesses I was diagnosed with was all related to where I live.
What, stress, you mean?
Not only stress. I was on antidepressants. I was on anxiety medication. They told me I'm a manic depressant. Anxiety medication, I had to take 2 sleeping tablets a night to sleep because I couldn't sleep through the night. And all these blood pressure tablets. And since I moved to Cyprus, I'm so proud to say I'm not taking any of it. There's no sign of depression. I don't go into their dark holes. And it was all contributed to the environment I was living in. So I was actually misdiagnosed by medical professionals.
But you still got some stress here in North Cyprus because you've still got a big business, haven't you, back in Namibia?
I do. I did keep my business in Namibia and I still have properties there as well. I've got a hair salon and a boutique and also an academy, a training academy back home. And finding staff is so difficult because most people leave because of the living situations being so bad.
Sure.
So a lot of businesses suffer there because you don't have the overflow of choice when it comes to employment. So you as an employer, and I that has employed, was the most important thing to me was, if I leave, I need to take care of my staff because they will not be able to find work somewhere else. And I've done that under difficult circumstances. But now, for instance, my business is in trouble and I need to go. Now I have to apply for a business permit to go and visit my business because I left the country. And it is so difficult because the systems doesn't work and it's been rejected. And they give me a simple reason, client doesn't fit the criteria.
Which you obviously do, but what is the real reason, do you think, that they won't let you back in to see to your business?
The real reason, I think, is because I'm South African and that I'm a gay business owner.
And you're white? Would that have anything to do with it?
Absolutely, because racism is not something I believe in. You know, every person is a person, but unfortunately in Africa, they want the businesses. They want the business to be government owned. They want the businesses to have part in it and the success that you built. And if you don't, they'll make your life difficult like they've been doing mine.
So what's the future then, the immediate future for your business, if you can't get over there?
The immediate future for my business would be either to close it down. And I've got a lot of things tied to the business, like my properties, whatever. So I would stand to lose everything. So that is the option I have. And that's what they want, because they will just come and grab it up afterwards.
So you are now effectively living the dream here in North Cyprus. How does it compare? You probably have already explained, but how does it compare day-to-day life over here compared to the recent past in Namibia?
There is not even a comparison, because you grow up in an environment where you think this is life and this is how things should be and you're okay with it, you know, when it comes to personal safety and everything. And then you come to a place like Northern Cyprus and you realize, what a lie. What a lie. People can live peacefully. You can live free. You can live not watching your back all the time or somebody wanting what you have or what you worked for. You know, simple things. We go shopping. We get into our car. We drive to a parking lot or into a street shopping. We park the car, leave the aircon on with the key inside the car, go and do shopping for 2.5 hours, and you come back and your car's still there. Or you go to Lefkosha, which got in the old city problem with parking. So people park you in, but everybody knows you leave your key on your right side of your driver's wheel. And if somebody needs to get out and you park them in, they move your car, they put your key back, whatever. Nobody steals anything. You go to a restaurant, the beach, you can leave your bags, your cell phones, and take a walk along the beach. You don't have to worry about it. There is just no, there's no crime. And if there is crime, it's so petty that nobody even will write about it because it's just something that doesn't happen. Or if your dog goes missing, it's a huge, bigger thing in a newspaper if your dog's missing than somebody being attacked because nobody gets attacked. And coming to your personal safety, the country laws protect you because the most amazing thing here is even if you, in an argument with somebody, you cannot enter the house. It's against the law to enter somebody's house if it's not your house and they haven't invited you in with anger. It's against the law to even push somebody when you're having an argument in the street, and you can be arrested for it and you can go to jail for 2 to 3 months. You can't skip it or pay somebody not go to jail. You will go to jail. That's the law. You're not allowed to harm any other person. And to live in a place where the laws work and the laws get done is amazing. And to know that you're safe.
And have you experienced any racism since you've been here in Northern Cyprus, in particular being a gay man living in North Cyprus?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. There is no racism. There's no classism here. You know, the rich and the poor and the woman that cleans your house. If you have somebody comes to dinner to your house, who joins your Christmas party, there is no racism at all. I find the people extremely friendly, extremely helpful, even the expats. Expats stand together and help you when you come to the island. They help you to get to the best doctors and this and that and what works and what doesn't work. And it's such a small place that you always feel part of a community. You'll never be alone. And there's also so much opportunity still here. Even like, you know, because a lot of people would look at Cyprus and say that, you know, it's an older generation that comes here to retire and they're buying a retirement home. To the young generation, I'm 47. It's a good life here. There's so much opportunity and you don't need a lot to make a life here or to open a new business. There's rules and regulations you have to follow. And if you follow that, you can open your business. There's no red tape afterwards or people asking you for bribery to do things. It doesn't exist. If it's on black and white on their website, it's on black and white on their paper.
You're already, in your short time here, been known somebody that's quite happy to party hard. And this weekend, with a friend, you went to Nicosia, and you're a bit of a naughty boy. Do tell us what happened, because I think this is hysterical.
Okay, so socialising to me, and that goes back to the young people as well, you know, socialising is big here. And people love to have a laugh and a good party and a couple of drinks. Unfortunately, we had our first weekend out of lockdown where we could socialize in nightclubs and parties, so we did. And then we had such a good time that we missed curfew. So by missing curfew, all the taxis that we phoned said they can't come because it's past curfew. So I said to my friend, then I guess we'll have to walk back to our hotel. And it comes back to safety as well, in the fact that you can still hitchhike here and you don't have to fear your life. So my friend said, let's hitchhike. And there was one car coming up this long street. And I said, you can try. And the car stopped. And he said, do you guys need help? Is there a problem? He said, unfortunately, we missed curfew. We have to go back to our hotel, which is quite a distance from where we are. But none of the taxis can give us, but can we pay you? Would you please drop us off? And he said, no problem. You don't have to pay me. Get into my car. and I'll take you to your hotel. So we had a drive, and then there was a police barricade checking people for curfew. And I thought, oh, no, this is now our luck. Now we're going to get arrested. Yeah. So we went to the police, Robert, and we stopped. The guy unrolled his window. He was speaking to them in Turkish. They were all laughing. They said we can go. And we said to him, like, you know, what did he say to them? He said, no. You know, Cyprus is a small place. Most of the guys here is my age. We all went to school together. So I just said to them, you know, I'm just taking these two people back to the hotel. They unfortunately couldn't get a taxi and whatever. And they waved us on. So he had a glass of whiskey in his car. And we said, oh, do you have more whiskey? And he said to us, no. Do you want something to drink? And he said, yeah, we would like some vodka. He's going back to our hotel. And he said, no problem. He's just going to phone my friend and we can sort it out. And so he took us back through the roadblock. They've opened a shop especially for us, and we could pick what we want, and we paid for it, and we got back into the car, and we go back through the roadblock. But at no point did we feel unsafe or threatened, because you can just trust people here. They don't have, what they say is what they mean. There's no hidden agenda behind it.
Does that mean the future, maybe live here permanently? I mean, what's the immediate plan?
Definitely. I'm looking, before I came here, you know, I was looking at opening a hair salon here as well, and a boutique importing African designers stuff to Cyprus. And that is still in my plan. Unfortunately, with COVID, it was held up. So all the stock is here, and my salon is already done. We're just waiting for the go, and we can open and I can start working. But my future plans is definitely, this is where I want to live. I've never felt this safe. It is extremely affordable, from food to eating out, to petrol, to property. You can live a very, very good and safe life here in Cyprus. So this is definitely, till the day I lay down my head, I will be here.
Conrad Prolius talking to me in June of last year, and Sarah, he's still loving life in the TRNC over a year later. In fact, he's now working as a really popular hairdresser out Lapt Away. Absolutely no regrets at all. And I think it's a great, great story.
It is. I mean, I had the good fortune to meet him again at Christmas when we were over, and we're friends on Facebook, and I see his pictures, and absolutely loving life, which is great, isn't it? That he sort of found a second life, which is what so often happens when people move over to the TRNC. You know, they have a new life and really sort of get involved in it. So that's great. And can you believe that was June last year? My goodness me. Time's really, really flown, hasn't it? So we've spoken to some great people. So I hope you enjoyed rehearing that. And of course, you can go and wherever you get your podcast from, wherever you're listening to this, you can scroll down and see all the other podcasts we've done and maybe catch up on one that you've missed previously, or one of your favourites, whatever that might be. So that's about it. So thank you very much indeed, Roger, for I was going to say getting up early, because it is early. Usually we do this, you're 2 hours ahead of me, so I'm the one that gets up early, but you got up early this morning. So thank you very much indeed for that. Enjoy the rest of your time. Enjoy the Emirates, because I know you're going to go and see Arsenal play as well, which will be fun.
Yes, I'm grateful that the cousin has got me a ticket. And I think since the Emirates was built in 2006, I've only managed to see about five or six games there. So it's always a special occasion. And me and my cousin, we tend to make a day of it. So we go to Cock Foster's tube station, park the car, get the Piccadilly line down to Arsenal station. And then we go for a long walk via the Tollington pub and via a fantastic little backstreet Italian restaurant that's all got Arsenal paraphernalia all over it. And it's it's just a wonderful occasion. And the match is almost insignificant. It comes sort of at the end of a really nice day, and of course catching up with somebody you don't see very often.
So yeah,
Looking forward.
Yeah, perfect. Well, that's absolutely lovely. Yeah, well, we hope to catch up with you again. We'll find out what you've been up to in the UK the next time. But for the moment, thank you very much indeed to everyone for listening. If you need to get in touch with us, then please do. You can find us on Facebook and Twitter at Talking Round North Cyprus. And we've got an email address as well. That's trnc.podcast@gmail.com. I'm Sarah Palmer.
And I'm Roger Barra. Thanks for listening. We'll talk again very soon.